163 of Section A, Clause 214 of the Administrative Procedures Scotland Act 1978, it is proposed that, insofar as the implementation of the statutory provisions is concerned, the resolution of anomalies and uncertainties, as between responsible departments, shall fall within the purview of the Minister for Administrative Affairs. What does it mean?
Sorry?
What does it mean?
Minister, it means notwithstanding the provisions...
Well, don't read it to me. I've just read it to you. What does it mean?
What it says. May I remind you, Minister, you're seeing a deputation from the TUC in 15 minutes, and from the CBI half an hour after that, and from the NEB at 12 noon.
Oh, Lord, what do they all want?
Well, they're all worried about the machinery.
Machinery?
Yes, for inflation, deflation, and reflation.
What do they think I am? Minister of the Crown? Or a bicycle pump? What am I going to do all this correspondence?
You do realise you don't actually have to, Minister.
Don't I?
Not if you don't want to. We can draft an official reply.
What's an official reply?
Well, it just says the Minister has asked me to thank you for your letter. Then we say something like, the matter is under consideration. Or even if we feel so inclined, under active consideration.
What's the difference?
Well, under consideration means we've lost the file. Under active consideration means we're trying to find it. You just transfer all the letters from your in-tray to your out-tray, put a brief note in the margin if you wish to see a reply, and if you don't, you need never see or hear of it again.
Do you mean to seriously tell me that if I transfer everything from here to here without even reading it, that's all I have to do?
Yes.
It'll be dealt with?
Precisely.
Properly?
Immaculately.
Well, what's a minister here for, then?
To make policy decisions, Minister. When you've decided the policy, we can carry it out.
How often are policy decisions needed?
From time to time.
Bernard, this government is here to govern, not merely preside like our predecessors did. When a country is going downhill, it's time for someone to get into the driving seat. Put his foot on the accelerator.
I think you mean the brake.
Ah, Humphrey.
A moment of your time, Minister.
The official visit to the United Kingdom of the President of Buranda.
What's Buranda?
Africa.
I've never heard of it.
Yes, it's fairly new, Minister. It used to be called British Equatorial Africa. It's the red bit on the left-hand side, a few inches below the Mediterranean.
Oh, there. Well, why has this come to us? This is for the Foreign Office, surely?
No, not exactly. There are administrative problems. Her Majesty is due to be up at Balmoral at the time, so she'll have to come to London.
How did that happen? I thought these state visits were arranged years in advance.
Oh, this isn't a state visit. It's a head of government visit.
Surely the President of Buranda is head of state.
But he's also head of government, Minister.
But if he's coming here as head of government, why does the Queen have to see him?
Because she's the head of state, Minister. The head of state must greet a head of state, even if he's not here as head of state.
It's all a matter of hats, Minister. Yes, you see, he's coming here wearing his head of government hat. He is the head of state, too, but it's not a state visit because he's not wearing his head of state hat. But protocol demands that even though he's wearing his head of government hat, he must still be met by the crown.
But anyway, why are we having an official visit from this tinpot little African country?
Minister, I beg of you not to refer to it as a tinpot little African country. It's an LDC.
What?
Buranda is what used to be called an underdeveloped country. However, this term was widely regarded as offensive. So they became known as developing countries and then as less developed countries, or LDCs. We're now ready to replace the term LDC with HRRC.
What's that?
Human resource rich countries.
Which means?
That they're grossly overpopulated and begging for money.
And Buranda is an HRRC?
No, Minister.
Let me get this straight. Is it one of the haves or one of the have-nots?
Oh, now we don't use that term any longer. But if we did, Buranda would be a will-have nation.
Will-have?
We'll have a huge amount of oil in a couple of years from now.
I see. Why didn't you say so at first? It's not a TPLAC at all.
TPLAC?
Tin pot little African country.
No, Minister.
Oil? Wait a minute, I've got a marvellous idea. The Queen doesn't have to come down from Balmoral at all.
Well, are you proposing that Her Majesty and the President should exchange official greetings over the telephone?
No.
Perhaps you'd like them to shout rather loudly.
No. The visit shall take place in Scotland, at Holyrood Palace.
Out of the question.
Why?
Well, it's not our decision. It's a Foreign Office matter.
I don't think so. notwithstanding the provisions of subsection 3, blah, 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 it is proposed, blah, the resolution of anomalies and uncertainties, blah, 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 shall fall within the purview of the Minister for Administrative Affairs.
Yes, but...
Don't you see? It's brilliant. We save the Queen a pointless journey, and there are 3 Scottish by-elections coming up soon, every one of them marginal. We'll hold them straight after the visit.
Minister, we do not hold head of government visits for party political reasons, but for reasons of state.
But my plan shows that Scotland is an equal partner in the United Kingdom. She is Queen of Scotland too, you know. And Scotland is full of marginal depressed areas.
Minister, I hardly think that we can exploit our sovereign by involving her in what some might call a squalid vote-grubbing exercise.
You want a better reason, right?
Indeed we do.
Then tell me why he's coming.
For an exchange of views on matters of mutual interest.
Now tell me why he's coming.
Offshore drilling equipment. We're hoping he's going to place a huge order with the British government.
Now, where is he going to see this offshore equipment? Aberdeen? Clydeside?
Oh, well, yes.
How many oil rigs have you got in Haslemere, Humphrey?
But the administrative problem...
That's what this whole department was created to solve.
But Scotland's so remote.
Not all that remote. It's that pink bit. About 2 feet above Potter's Bar.
Very droll, Minister.
So, it's going to be Scotland. That is my policy decision. That's what I'm here for. Right, Bernard? Right, Humphrey?
Well,
good.
I do...
Thank you. What's he got against the idea, Bernard? I mean, really.
Well, Sir Humphrey likes going to foreign embassies, you know, with his white tie, tails, medals. It'll all be on a much smaller scale if it takes place in Scotland.
You mean no room for Humphrey?
Well, probably not, only for the permanent secretary at the Scottish office.
Has Sir Humphrey got lots of them?
Well, yes, 1 or 2, Minister. And he's been recommended for the KBE in the next honours list.
How do you know? I thought honours were a closely guarded secret.
More coffee, Jumbo.
Thank you, Humphrey. Yes.
Any luck with the Foreign Secretary about this Scottish nonsense?
Afraid not, can't budge him. Your minister nobbled him first.
No chance of getting him back to London?
No, I'm afraid the Cabinet are utterly united. All these marginal seats, you see. Shameful.
Political.
Typical.
Inevitable. And so blatant. I mean, issuing writs for 3 Scottish by-elections to poll on the day after the visit. Can you imagine Harold Macmillan doing anything like that?
Yes.
Yes, so can I, actually. Now, about the arrangements for Scotland. You know, the reception, I mean. Do we know who's going?
Yes. I'm afraid the Barrandon concert in Edinburgh is rather a hutch. Looks as though I shall have to carry the flag for the civil service all by myself.
Really? Well, you have my sympathy. God knows what they'll be serving up for the Scots and Burandons. Haggis and missionary sauce, I shouldn't wonder.
Actually, between ourselves, Humphrey, the visit will probably never happen.
Never happen? Why?
Rumblings in the interior.
Oh, dear. Oh, excuse me.
From our man in Mungoville.
Well, isn't that rather serious? I mean, Buranda's a friendly African country with a Commonwealth connection.
Our information is it's likely to turn into a hostile LDC with a Cuban connection.
Yeah. And what will the government do about it?
The same as they always do.
Damn all.
We are just getting reports of a coup d'etat in Buranda, the West African state that was formerly British Equatorial Africa. Early reports suggest that the Commander-in-Chief, Colonel Selim Mohammed, has been declared president. It's not known what's happened to the former president, President Alam, who was due to pay an official visit to Britain next week. There's still no sign of agreement in the present round of talks.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
Get to the Foreign Secretary, quick.
Shall we scramble?
Scramble? No, it's not secret, it's on the news. Martin, what's all this about Buranda?
What's all what?
There's been a coup d'etat.
How do you know? Well, it was on the news. Didn't you see? Don't you know? You're Foreign Secretary, for God's sake.
Yes, but my TV set's on the blink.
Your TV set?
Don't you get Foreign Office telegrams?
Oh, they always come in later. I get all the foreign news from TV.
You're joking, aren't you?
No.
Oh. Well, what about this official visit? We've got to make sure it still happens, haven't we?
How can we? I mean, who's the new president?
Well, we must find out. Make sure he comes, whoever he is. There are 3 by-elections hanging on it.
Well, I know that.
Let me know if you hear anything more.
No, you let me know. You're the one with the telly.
You've heard the sad news, Minister?
Yes, disaster.
No. Just a slight inconvenience. The wheels are in motion. No, it's really perfectly simple to cancel the arrangements for the visit.
Cancel the arrangements? You'll do no such thing.
No, we have no choice, Minister.
I've just been speaking to the Foreign Secretary. We are reissuing the invitation for the new president.
But we haven't recognised his government.
The wheels are in motion.
But who is he?
Mahabit something.
But we don't know anything about him. What's he like?
Humphrey, he's coming here on an official visit. We're not putting him up for the Athenaeum.
Minister, Buranda is in total confusion. We don't know who is behind him. We don't know whether he's Soviet-backed or just an ordinary Burandan with an eye for the main chance. We cannot take diplomatic risks.
The government has no choice.
But Her Majesty...
Her Majesty will cope. She always does.
But who is he? He might not be properly brought up. He might be rude to her. He might take liberties. He will be photographed with Her Majesty. And what if he then turns out to be another Idi Amin? The repercussions are almost too hideous to contemplate.
Well, we'll just have to find out about it.
Well, we can't. All that we know is that he's an enigma.
Humphrey, I don't care for that word.
Enigma?
And there are reasons of state which make this village sense. Buranda is potentially enormously rich. It needs oil rigs. And we have idle shipyards on the Clyde. Moreover, Buranda is essential to the government's African policy.
The government doesn't have an African policy.
Well, it has now. And if he is Marxist-backed, well, who better to win him over to our side than Her Majesty? Moreover, the people of Scotland have been promised an important state occasion. We cannot go back on our word.
Not to mention 3 marginal by-elections.
Not to mention 3 marginal by-elections, which had nothing whatever to do with
it. No, of course not.
Yes? Oh, it's the Foreign Secretary.
Martin? Yes? Yes? Oh, splendid! The new president of Buranda has announced his intention of visiting this country next week in accordance with his predecessor's arrangements.
Oh, so the Foreign Office is getting the facts at last, isn't it?
Well, not exactly. Martin's driver heard a news flash on his car radio. So, the visit's on. That is my recommendation to the PM. Another policy decision, Bernard. Quite a lot of them, after all. The Brandon Airways. They are doing well. How many planes have they got?
None.
Need your eyes, Humphrey. What about that one?
That one was chartered from Freddie Laker last week and repainted specially. Actually, there's 1 747 that belonged to 9 different African airlines in 1 month. They called it the Mumbo Jumbo.
When do I have to be at Heathrow?
Oh, I put you on the sleeper, Minister. You'll be at the house tonight till after the last plane.
Oh.
And now we're about to catch our first glimpse of President Selim Mohammed of Buranda.
I know him. Catch Charlie.
Charlie?
We were at LSE together.
Really?
Yeah, he's not Selim Mohammed. He's Charles Umtali.
Are you sure about this?
You don't forget a name like Charlie Umtali.
No, sorry. Have we heard anything on this, Bernard?
Well, I recall in the brief, Sir Humphrey, it stated that Colonel Selim Mohammed was converted to Islam some years ago. We didn't know his previous name, so we couldn't find out much about his background.
Well, I can tell you all about it. He's a red-hot political economist. Got the top first. Wiped the floor with everyone.
Oh, well, that's all right, then.
Is it why?
Well, I think what Bernard means is that he'll know how to behave if he went to an English university. Even if it was the LSE. When you said he was red-hot, were you speaking politically?
Partly. Never quite know where you are with Charlie. He's the sort of person who follows you into a revolving door and comes out first.
No deep commitment.
Only to Charlie.
I see.
A politician, Minister.
Very droll, Humphrey. Well, he's only here for a couple of days. Can't do much harm.
Always remember, Minister, you wanted him here, not me.
It is after 5:30, Minister.
When am I going to do all this correspondence?
Well, Minister. Well done, Minister. Better out than in.
This,
no, I will not.
But it's top priority, Minister.
You say that about everything.
But this is an advance copy of President Selim's speech tomorrow. We've just got it from the Brandon.
I know all about these speeches. Happy to be here. Bonds of shared experience, ties between our two countries, am I right?
Yes, that is in all in it.
Well, I'm certainly not going to read it tonight.
Well, I really think you should, Minister. Look, I've underlined the important bits in red ink. I'll just distribute some copies around the train.
Around the train?
Yes, Sir Humphrey, the Foreign Secretary, the press officer, are all on the train.
Brandons feel a special affinity with the Celtic peoples in their struggle for freedom. We too had to fight to break free from the chains of British colonialism. British colonialism? The people of Miranda urged the Scots and the Irish. Let the English oppression cast off the imperialist yoke and join the fellowship of free nations. Good God. Yes.
Well, Minister, we would appear to have been caught with our trousers down.
Humphrey, he can't say this in front of her.
Well, I don't like to say I told you so, but I told you so.
We're going to have egg all over our faces.
Not egg, Minister, just imperialist yolk.
3 Scottish by-elections on Thursday.
Well, yes, it is indeed a catastrophe, a tragedy, a cataclysmic, apocalyptic, monumental calamity. And you did it.
Humphrey, you're paid to advise me. Advise me.
Well, this is not unlike trying to advise the captain of the Titanic after he struck the iceberg.
Must be something we can do.
We could sing Abide With Me.
Yes, Minister. Oh, yes, the Foreign Secretary would like a word.
Ah, Foreign Secretary.
Have you read this?
Yes, my minister's concerned that the government will have egg all over its face. Scotch egg, presumably.
Why is he doing it?
Well, maybe it's for home consumption. He's only just taken over. Perhaps he's trying to persuade the other African leaders that he's a pucker anti-colonialist.
Yes? Yes, sir.
The press officer would like a word.
Oh, dear.
Room for a little. Humphrey, do you think it's a good idea to issue a statement?
Well, Minister, in practical terms, we have the usual 6 options. 1, do nothing. 2, issue a statement deploring the scene. 3, lodge an official protest. 4, cut off aid. 5, break off diplomatic relations. And 6, declare war.
Which should we do?
Well, if we do nothing, we implicitly agree with the speech. 2, if we issue a statement, we'll just look foolish. 3, if we lodge a protest, it'll be ignored. 4, we can't cut off aid because we don't give them any. 5, if we break off diplomatic relations, we can't negotiate the oil rig contract. And 6, if we declare war, it might just look as though we were overreacting.
In the old days, we could send in a gunboat.
Yes.
I suppose that is absolutely out of the question.
Yes, Minister, the moment Under Secretary of the Foreign Office is coming down the corridor.
Oh, dear. Oh, it's like a black hole of Calcutta. May I come in, Minister?
You can try.
This is all we needed.
Welcome to the Standing Committee.
Sir Frederick, you've seen this abominable speech. What are we going to do about it?
Well, Minister, Foreign Secretary...
Yeah, Frederick.
I think we know what's behind it. Don't we, Humphrey?
Humphrey?
I think Sir Frederick is suggesting that the offending paragraph may be, shall we say, a bargaining counter.
You mean he wants something?
Well, if he doesn't, why send us an advance copy?
See. Well, why don't you find out what it is he wants?
Because the embassy staff are all new. We've only just seen the speech, and no one knows anything about this new president.
Except me.
Except you?
How?
They were at university together. The old boy network.
Hey, that was 25 years ago. He may not even remember me. No, I don't really think I can... I think you ought to see him, Sir Frederick.
No, Minister, I think you carry more weight.
Well, we're all agreed, then, that the mountain shall go to Mohammed.
Oh, no. Jim's going.
That's what I meant.
All right. But you'll have to come with me.
Well, of course, Minister. I'd hardly let you do it on your own.
Jim, come in. How nice to see you again.
Charlie, long time no see.
You don't have to speak pidgin English to me, Jim.
This is Humphrey Appleby, my permanent undersecretary.
Your Excellency.
How do you do? Do sit down. I've always thought that permanent undersecretary is such a demeaning title.
I beg your pardon?
Sounds like an assistant typist or something. Whereas you really in charge of everything, aren't you?
Not quite everything.
Charlie, I suppose I congratulate you on becoming head of state.
Oh, thanks. It wasn't difficult. I didn't have to do any of the boring things like fighting elections. Or by-elections. Jim, of course I'm delighted to see you, but... Is this purely a social visit, or is there anything in particular you wanted to talk about? Because I do have to put the finishing touches to my speech.
Ah, well, yes. Actually, we have seen an advance copy.
You liked it?
May I speak frankly? I mean, we're old friends, aren't we?
Of course.
You must realize that bit about colonialist oppression was a bit, well, very... Well, actually, profoundly embarrassing. That passage where you urged the Scots and the Irish to, I wonder if you could, give it a miss.
Give it a miss?
Yes.
But this is something I feel very, very deeply to be true. Surely the British don't believe in suppressing the truth.
Oh, good heavens, no.
I wonder if there's anything that might persuade the President to consider recasting that sentence and transferring the emphasis from the specific instance to the abstract concept without, of course, in any way impairing the conceptual integrity of the theme.
Yes. May I change the subject? Oh, Jim, while you were here... May I sound you out on the proposal I was going to make to the Prime Minister at our talks?
What proposal?
Our little change of government has quite unnecessarily alarmed some of the investors in our oil industry. Only temporarily, of course, but it does mean that we need a little British investment to tide us over. To restore confidence, you know.
How much?
£50 million.
Ask him on what terms?
On what terms?
Repayment of the capital not to start before 10 years and interest free?
£50 million. It's a lot of money.
I see. Well, in that case.
But that doesn't mean to say we can't talk about it. Hey, Humphrey.
Interest free? 10 years, assuming that the interest would have been 10%. He's asking for a free gift of £50 million.
You know, it would appear that what you're actually asking for is a free gift of about £50 million.
But it's to your advantage. We would use the loan to buy all rigs built in the Clyde.
Well...
He's asking us to give him £50 million so that he can buy our oil rigs with our money.
Reasonable to me.
Reasonable, in a
jobs, sir.
Lots of jobs, Humphrey. Charlie, supposing it were possible to do this deal, would you find it possible to make the necessary cuts in your speech today?
Oh. Yes. But I'd have to know now.
Blackmail.
Are you describing me or my proposal?
Your proposal, naturally. No, not even your proposal. Well, I think we can come to agreement, don't you, Humphrey?
Minister.
Could I have a word with you?
Yes?
Will you excuse us, Your Excellency?
Is anything wrong?
Is anything right?
He's offering us a way out.
A way out? You call a gift of £50 million a way out?
It's a loan.
Well, call it what you like, we'll never get it back.
Well,
you're proposing to buy your way out of political involvement with £50 million of public money.
It's diplomacy.
It's corruption, Minister.
K-B-E. Humpy?
You mean...
Yes, I see. I suppose we don't want the Soviets to invest in Buranda, do we? And I suppose it could be argued that we have a responsibility to the,
TPLACs?
Yes, right.
Oh, good. Mr. President, I think we can cut to terms after all.
Well, you know my price.
And you know mine. Everyone has his price.
Yes, Minister. Thank you.